Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the scone of conversation, spreading on the jam of humour, adding the clotted cream of friendship, and we got ourselves a Cornish scone podcast, James.
Oh, now why is Ed saying a Cornish scone? I guess we'll come to that later, listeners.
Later.
That's Ed Gamble, huh?
Yes, later.
That's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite a guest in and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week, our Christmas guest...
Merry Christmas.
...is Dawn French. We win.
Boy, oh boy, we have won Christmas. Now, sometimes we have a guest on and we're like, I think we might be in national treasure territory here. This is the prime piece of national treasure.
Yeah, this is the main
bit. Unless that sounds disrespectful.
the main bit that Indiana Jones will be after.
Yeah.
The main bounty.
Yes, the main bounty, Dawn French. So excited. Obviously, we are huge fans of Dawn French. We are very, very excited that she is coming into the Dream Restaurant.
Yep, but that generation of comedians that... We wouldn't be comedians if it wasn't for Dawn French.
Correct, and take that as you will.
Yes, sorry, Dawn. Sorry if that makes you regret everything you've ever done.
Yes, but what a career, what a back catalogue of work.
Yeah.
Just buzzing. And we're going to be talking about something she's done very recently, which is her new book, The Twat Files.
The Twat Files, A Life of Mistakes, No Regrets.
Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing you say that as well. No regrets is one of your favourite catchphrases.
I love saying no regrets. No, it's really regrets. Funny.
Yeah, really funny. Excited to talk to her about the book, excited to talk to her about her dream menu, and excited to talk to her about her dream Christmas food as well, James.
Yes, it is Christmas. Merry Christmas to all those who celebrate.
Yes.
And we will be asking Dawn what her... Every year, I think we've always done this, is there's a little Christmas course that we chuck in there for the Christmas specials, and we will find out what Dawn French has for Christmas dinner.
We will. Very excited. We should get on with it, but... We do have to pick a secret ingredient, James.
This feels bad. I don't really want there to be a secret ingredient for this one because I want to make sure that Dawn French does not get kicked out of the Dream Restaurant. But as always, if the guest picks a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, they will be kicked out.
Yes, she will be kicked out, but I think we've picked something that she probably won't pick.
Yeah. We've deliberately
ruined our own format
so
as to not remove Dawn French from the restaurant.
And this week, the secret ingredient is
Marmite cakes. Marmite cakes. We just looked up some trivia about the Vicar of Dibley.
Yep.
And of course, there was the character Letitia Cropley, and she cooked weird stuff. And in one episode, she cooked Marmite cakes.
Like a dessert
Marmite. Even though I think about it, and I think Marmite cakes actually sounds quite nice.
Yeah, actually, it would be good.
It would be nice.
Marmite and chocolate. I've had a Marmite and chocolate brownie. I've said it many times on the podcast. It was delicious. Yeah.
But I don't think Dawn's going to pick that, so I think we're on safe territory.
I think we'll be okay, but shall we find out?
Yes, this is the off-menu menu of Dawn French. French. Welcome, Dawn, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Dawn French, to the Dream Restaurant.
Okay, it's already quite dynamic and loud.
Yes.
I'm liking it.
Yes.
I like your glasses. You've only just, as we were starting, put your glasses on.
Yes, because I need to read something.
I love them.
Thank you. Why?
I've not seen that design before. I like the metal frames.
Yes.
I like how the tops are thicker than the rest of it. I like the shape of them. I've not seen that shape of glasses before.
Thank you. And do you know what I like? They're very light on the face.
Mm.
I've worn heavy face furniture before now, and this is light, and I'm in this school now.
Yeah.
They work.
Would you wear those glasses then?
Absolutely.
Would you?
In a heartbeat. Glasses?
Do people ask to try them on?
I won't be lending them to you, mainly because of size of head, if you don't mind me saying.
I've got a big head?
Yeah, in a nice way.
Yeah,
A man-sized head.
Yes.
Quite square. Yours even squarer.
Yes.
But I've got a feeling there would be some stretching.
Yeah.
And I can't risk that, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Because stretching leads to slippage, and we all know what goes. It's a slippery old slope.
Yeah. Stretching leads to slippage.
I don't think I hope I don't need glasses, because I have a very small nose and small ears, so I think I'd struggle to keep them on my face.
You draw my attention out to your nose and ears.
Quite small nose and ears,
right? Yeah, quite small ears. Can you hear? Can you hear me?
Just about. There's a bit of a delay.
Okay,
but
good.
Yeah, I can, So whenever I wear sunglasses, they sort of struggle to stay on my face.
Did you get them from a mouse?
Yeah, my father.
Your ears.
My father's a mouse.
You know how people grow human ears on Mikey's back?
Yes.
Ed had mice ears growing on the side of his head.
Yeah.
I'm an experiment. I'm a big
growing
experiment.
Them for mice.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How generous.
How are you doing, Dawn?
Do you know, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to know the absolute truth, do you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
I've got a wobbly knee.
Oh, yeah.
And this is honestly the bane of my life.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, I wanted to get to dying without any faults.
Yeah.
You know, the odd cold maybe or something, or a pimple.
Mm.
But now I seem to have the big stuff that means you have to have butchery done to you.
Yeah.
And so I've got this really dodgy knee, which happened as a result of doing a stunt.
Really?
Yeah. You may not know this, but I have in my life pretended to be a vicar.
Yes.
And when I pretended to be a vicar, I also jumped in a puddle. You may not know this.
Yes.
Very young. And
it's a very, very famous scene.
Yes, very famous scene.
I think we're the exact right age for it. But yeah.
Okay. So when I did the jumping in the puddle, that was all perfectly good. Did have a secret wee, just telling you that. Anyway, it was warm.
In the puddle?
It was warm, and it was November. Come on.
Yeah.
That's allowed. No one else was going in after me. It's all fine.
Yeah,
so
respect.
I've then been asked to jump in endless other puddles.
Yeah.
You know, so I went on Paul O'Grady's chat show, and this is a million years ago, and, you know, it's a flat concrete floor. It's a TV studio.
Yeah.
How are they going to... They're asking me to jump in a puddle to finish the show, and I'm agreeing. And they built a hill so that there could be a puddle at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Hill out of scaffolding and AstroTurf. I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
How many puddles have you had to jump in post jumping in the puddle? And
many.
And every year for Comic Relief, they're calling you up.
Nearly always say yes. But when I did jump in that 10-foot one, jumped 10-foot, no actual water inside it. Yes to that?
What, you jumped? You just jumped?
I just jumped.
10-foot drop?
Well, yes. I mean, there was a small plastic membrane type thing because they couldn't put water in it. They put 2 inches of water on top of the plastic membrane.
Yeah.
Slightly vulva-like, if you don't mind me saying.
Yes.
Screens, please, but Dr. Freud. And I jumped into that. But then from there onwards, nothing. 10-foot drop, heavy drop onto this left knee. So this is all for the sake of comedy. I've donated my knee to comedy.
And comedy that you've done before as well.
Comedy I've done before.
Nailed it the first time.
To do it again. Showing off, frankly.
That's astounding. So that now you've got knee problems
now
because
I've got
of the
knee
Paul
problems
O'Grady
because
show.
Of that. You get arthritis where you've had... Yeah, let's blame Paul O'Grady, who's frankly dead.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's blame
to be frank.
Him. He won't mind. He won't mind.
He won't mind that.
He won't mind. He'll take it on the chin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why now you've got a wobbly knee.
Yeah, got a wobbly knee. And in a minute, well, not a minute, several minutes, somebody's going to put a new one in there.
Wow.
And here's an interesting thing. See what you think about this.
Yeah.
This problem started many years ago. And when I first went to see the knee surgeon, he said, you're going to need a complete replacement knee in there one day.
Mm.
And I went, let's see. Then I went to see him a couple of years ago. And he said, right, now I've done some closer looking with machinery. scans or whatever they call it. And now you will need a partial knee because the technology is such that now it's not an entire knee. So then I said, going by this trajectory, shall I just keep going and never need a knee? Will I just not need any knee at any point? He said, no, that doesn't work that way.
Did you have to tell him about the puddle?
No, I haven't admitted to that because I don't know, I'd feel foolish. Whereas I'm with you and you're a couple of twats and I'm quite happy to be foolish with you guys and admit my shortcomings. But to a surgeon, you want to sort of be grown up, don't you?
Yeah.
You say you're reading a book.
I ruined it by doing ballet.
Because he might say, well, you don't get a knee then.
Yeah, I know.
You've jumped in a puddle at Paul O'Grady's show.
No knee for you.
Yeah. Now, you called us a couple of twats, which we liked.
Any other guest, we'd be offended. But, of course, from you, it's a great compliment.
It's a gentle slap.
Exactly. Because you've written a book called The Twat Files.
I certainly have, thank you.
Which is, it's not about other twats, really, is it?
You're
reclaiming the word twat.
I am.
And talking about times you've been a twat.
And, you know, it's really an alarming amount.
Yeah, it's a big book.
It's a big book, and I honestly promise you that is about a third of the amount of stories in there. Yeah. It's shocking. It's shocking. When I first thought, oh, this is quite a good conceit to tell stories about your life, or mainly stories about work. That's what I set out to do the tour. Mm-hmm. I thought I don't want to just do lovey anecdotes, but I might tell stories sort of behind the scenes. You know, I did a bit in Harry Potter, and I filmed a scene with the hippo. Why don't I tell people what actually happened with the hippo? You know, that kind of thing. And then I thought, actually, I was a bit of a twat that day. So then I told that story. Then I told another story, and I thought, oh God, I really have been a twat. Like, I'm a massive twat, and I didn't know it. You know when there's always one twat in the room, and you look around, you can't see one. Mm. That's when you know you are the one.
Oh, no, it is.
That
me.
Is continual for me.
I'm just
a twat wrapped in flesh.
Yeah.
That's me. I know that sounds wrong. So sorry.
No, we love it.
That starts to sound offensive, but it's not.
That must have been bittersweet going, I think this would be a really good idea for a book. And then you start thinking about it and it just came too easily.
Yeah, too easily.
Yeah,
but don't we love the joy of owning up to your utter idiocy.
Absolutely.
I think it's like a basic human need to tell stories of idiocy. I mean, comics do it all the time.
Yeah.
And actually mates do it, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I love it if a mate says to me, you know, you'll never believe what I did, and tells me some stupid, foolish thing they did.
Yeah.
It's almost an act of trust.
Yes.
When somebody does that. And I think, okay, well, I'm not going to judge you for it. I am going to laugh at you because you've invited me to. But now I'm going to tell you a story. I'm even going to try and trump you with not trump at you.
Yeah.
No,
but I'm going to try and trump you with my idiocy. And then we're loving each other a bit.
Also, I don't like any comedy where the comedian wins.
No.
I need
the comedian to be, I've been a twat and here's why.
Absolutely. Mm. And where's the fun in success, actually?
Yeah.
There's nothing to be said for success.
Absolutely.
Actually, what I would say is if you have been only successful, and there's no such thing really, but if that's all you ever talk about, you are just an arsehole then.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even a twat, you're just an arsehole. So let's forget that because we don't, I don't really care about people's successes.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem with all the filters and the stories about yourself. Look where I am. And look at my interesting hair. Look at me. I'm here. I know these people.
Yeah.
You know, all of that to me is because I'm old. And so that is like, it's a bit boasty and weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And you're just saying, aren't I great? Aren't I great? I don't like you. I don't like you if you're telling me that. I don't know how to connect with you. I don't know people that are just great. Everybody I know is a twat. And I want to meet other twats. That's where I can connect properly with my folk.
Yeah. It's weird. So, I've never heard anyone say, if you followed such and such on Instagram, their life looks so great. I really like them.
Yeah.
I really think they're brilliant. I like them. I've only ever heard people go, you got to follow such and such. They're fucking
so nubbed. What a wanker.
Hate them,
jealous of them. And,
yeah.
and what we know is it's not true. We know that. But why are we buying it then?
Yeah.
Why are
we
buying it and trying to be as untrue and as fake as that?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to sort of, I'm just trying to own the kind of the lovely imperfection. Honestly, I can tell you it's liberating, massively liberating. And maybe it's something that comes with age where you don't feel like you have to impress people anymore or you have to give the best of yourself or anything. Because, you know, we're going into weird territory here. My brain's going to weird territory. It's like the difference between porn
yes.
and proper lumpy, slightly whiffy sex. That's, you know, where it's real and with the real person.
Yes.
Really flawed person. I mean, I have been known in my life, you know, to just go, look, before we go any further, can I show you all of this? Yeah. Let me just show you all of this. Here are all the lumps, the ones that are supposed to be there. Here's the other ones that aren't supposed to be there, quite alarming. Just get used to it. What do you think? Interested in a visit or not a visit? Because this is what it is, and I'm interested in your weirdness. Yeah. So let's have a go at it.
At what point of the evening is this? Is this before you go on the date?
This is very early on. So, I quite often would, this is back in the day, obviously, before marriage. I don't do that anymore. I will hand out, you know, a card which says, where would you like to visit? Upstairs, outsides, upstairs, insides, downstairs, outsides.
You had these printed up.
Or golden, golden thing, which might cost you dinner, downstairs, insides. You know, or do you prefer, do you smoke? No. Yeah. I'll get things sorted. I'm quite organised.
Yes, yeah.
But I do like real stuff, real bodies, real people, real mistakes, real everything is what I'm interested in.
Also, I had no idea that was a real hippo that you were in a room with. I assumed...
Yeah.
They'd CGI'd you.
Oh, no.
As the lady in the painting.
Oh, no. There was a hippo.
And there's hippos behind you. I didn't think you were really with a real life hippo.
I was with a real life hippo. But here's the thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I talk about on stage, which I'm not supposed to do, but I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
So I was asked if I was happy to work with animals, and then I was told by the director that there was a hippo. Yeah. I just said yes because I wanted to be in the film. I didn't think about it till the day when I was taken into the great hangar at Leavesden Studio and left in a pen in the middle with sawdust.
Yeah.
And an unpleasant man came, and he was the animal wrangler, and he came and shouted at me about, and I really did obey. I do obey shouty people, which I shouldn't do that anymore. He shouted at me and told me that I must not run. Whatever happened, I must not run. And he said that they were going to be bringing in a live creature and to pay it some respect, stand still, do not run. Did I understand? I thought, yes, I understand. He then explained to me that the script called for a female hippo, but this was a male hippo. Do not run. That's already ominous.
Yes.
Then he said, this hippo may want to sniff your privates. Do not run.
Had you sent the hippo the card before?
I was wavering then, because I thought, I don't think that's part of the contract.
No.
When you said, do you like working with animals? I wasn't imagining this. This is too much. Then he said, this hippo may want to mate with you. And if it does, if he does, his skin will start to foam. Be on alert. Look out for that. Tell me, do not run. So then I thought, oh God, I'd like to run now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, you know. So they went out and they backed in the trailer with the hippo, and I could hear it thumping about inside. I was genuinely terrified. He went in to bring it out, and do you know what? It was the size of a Labrador. So the word they had all neglected to use concerning the hippo was the word pygmy. It was a pygmy hippo.
Don't run.
And I'll tell you something, it did sniff my privates.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing, its skin did not foam. I failed to ignite the ardour of a pygmy hippo. And that's a fact. And I really care about that. I still.
I feel failed. Yeah, that is quite a diss from the pygmy.
I failed. But it was tiny. So the script called for me to hide behind it.
Yes.
Which when I read, I imagined the hippo-sized hippo. Not a pygmy-sized hippo.
Yeah.
But the only way to do that scene was to be on all fours behind it.
Yeah.
So to try and hide my fairly bulky self behind a tiny little hippo. It's ridiculous. And when you see it, you don't even, as you say, it could have been CGI'd.
Yeah.
You sort of see the hide of it. You don't even really see what's going on.
Also, if they're worried that the hippo is going to want to mate with you, yeah, and then they're asking you to get down on all fours.
I know.
Encouraging it a bit.
Yeah. I know. Who's caring about me and my well-being? And what could have happened?
Absolutely no one is caring.
What could have happened?
Yeah.
I could have been the mother of very tiny hippo babies. It would have been against God. It would have been against everything moral.
Yeah.
Everything.
It would look like...
And I would not have been allowed to run because I'd have been obeying.
Yeah.
And staying still.
I reckon you could outrun a pygmy hippo, surely.
Yeah.
Do you know, I don't think I could with my wobbly knee. I don't think... This was a few years back, but even so.
Thanks to O'Grady.
Yeah.
That hippo's going to catch
you. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks to you, O'Grady. I have to mate with a hippo.
We always start the dream menu with still a sparkling water.
Yeah, I know exactly what I'm having there.
Yeah.
Can you guess?
I think you would have still water.
I think sparkling, Dawn.
I think you're right.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Okay. But I quite enjoy the gassiness and I quite enjoy the burping that follows. I quite enjoy that. And it also feels posh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know it's a rip-off. I know it's wrong.
Yeah,
I know it's expensive. I know all of those things.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm going to deny myself foie gras for all the right moral reasons,
yeah,
I'm going to have the sparkling water. Sorry. Are you disappointed now?
No,
he's annoyed that he guessed wrong is what's happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was being really clever because of all the stuff you were saying earlier, difference between twats and assholes and successful people.
I am a twat. I'm saying I am a twat, yes, so I'm allowed the sparkling water.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because it is allowed. Mainly twats that drink sparkling water, isn't it?
I guess. Is it mainly twats or is that arsehole territory? The successful people?
No, I think it's twat territory.
It's just twat territory.
Yeah, it's forgivable.
Yeah.
Would you like to jump into a puddle of it?
Oh, Ed Gamble. I apologise.
There's something I've never considered. Yeah. But if you want to organise it, Ed,
yeah,
I'd be there.
It's your dream restaurant. We've got a genie here, isn't it?
Could it be real water
real
in a
water.
Real proper puddle, not silly studio puddle?
Yeah. There's no membranes
where you
involved.
Nearly die.
Yeah.
We're not going to do the drop.
No hippos, no scaffolding, just plain old fizzy water, just loads of it, gallons of it.
Gallons of it straight in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Would you like as well?
Yeah.
Because I think this would be good if Richard Curtis jumped into a big load of sparkling water and had to do it as many times as you've had to do it over your life.
Richard Curtis was really so far behind the camera watching from a long distance, like the coward he is.
Yeah.
But he wrote it, come on, with Paul Mayhew Archer. It was their idea. I'd love to take the credit, but I can't.
So they should be jumping into the...
They should, but not with me. I want to do it on my own, thanks. And there is a joy, you know. There is a joy with little stunty moments like that.
Yeah.
And I think there's something in me that is sort of British and also trained by my brother that if you refuse a challenge, you will be forever labelled a girl. So I'm not having that.
No.
I'm not a girl. Well, I am, but I'm not in his mind a girl. And I will do any challenge to beat my brother. My brother's nearly 70 now. I'm 66.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting next to my brother, we have to have a fight, physical fight. It really does alarm his children, my children, everybody, because it's quite full on and it is serious. It starts with Chinese burns, you know, and it moves on from there.
Yeah.
We can't, it's about being in the back of the car together for years.
Yeah.
You still just slip into those roles.
There's just a little dig and then another one. And it should stay lighthearted, but it doesn't. It gets quite violent.
Gets out of control.
And I'm prepared to bite. So just saying that to you.
He's
you
going win. For the knees every time.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you win the next one.
Yeah, thank you. I will. I've got plans.
Pop-lums or bread? Pop-lums or bread, Dawn French? Pop-lums or bread?
Oh, my God. I think it might be bread. Yeah, it's bread. Although it's unwise, isn't it? Because you're full.
That's always the danger, that you fill up on bread.
Yeah, and because it's arrived first, you're hungry, you want it badly. I quite like the pushy... Forget ya kind of type of bread, you know. I quite like that. Or would you like a brown one or a white one out of a basket with a forky thing, you know, tongy thing.
Tongs.
Yeah, quite like that. And if they're warm, that.
Well, I'm a genie waiter in this scenario,
right?
So I could make you unfull again
for the rest of the meal. Oh my God!
After the bread,
that's my dream thing.
Reset you.
I once gave up bread in an effort to lose some weight. I gave up bread for a year. And I gave up cheese the same year.
Good
and then Satan, who works at my deli, made cheese bread. Yeah. And then I was lost.
The ultimate temptation.
That was it.
Yeah.
Gave in immediately.
Unfortunate that Satan worked at the deli.
Yeah. 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 And that was it.
Bad luck.
I love bread.
It's good cheese bread.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have poppadoms unless, of course, you're at an Indian restaurant, surely.
Yeah,
I mean,
but,
I don't
know
if you've been asked this before. Is it? It's a strange
choice. Some people have still picked poppadoms and they're not picked Indian for their big meal. But
right. Yeah.
Some people just love poppadoms.
Some people have picked prawn crackers.
Yeah.
Well, you might as well have crisps if you're going to do that. Bring your own crisps.
I guess
and get started with those before the bread. And some I wouldn't advise it.
No.
Some Save yourself for the actual food. I don't think my menu would exist in a restaurant, but when we're in your special magic restaurant, aren't we? So it just does.
Yeah.
Nobody would serve me these things in this order.
That's
in the
great.
Restaurant, I think.
That's what we like.
They're not particularly weird. They're just not what you would get.
They wouldn't be on the same menu.
No, correct.
And for your bread course, do you want that devil's cheese bread?
Oh, you bitch. Yes, I do. Please. Yeah,
you are a bitch.
Yes, I do. I can only have it because you're promising me I won't fill up.
Yes. You won't fill up.
All right, because that would be my entire meal ordinarily. Yeah, okay.
Satan's cheese bread.
All right, thank you.
Satan's cheese bread.
Yeah, lovely.
Your dream starter.
Now, this was problematic for me because I was thinking of all the things I love as starters. And I do really love starters, but I remember... This is slightly twatty, really, because I remember having this starter in a restaurant ages ago. So I was trying to remember what my favourite starter was. And I've never had it since. And I loved it. So why have I not ordered it since? Or why haven't I made it for myself at home? You know, when you have a little epiphany and you think, this is food I really love. Why don't I eat it?
Been wasting my life.
Or why am I trying to have other inferior starters when this is what I really want?
Yeah.
So this was thinly sliced pear. Ripe. Don't start giving me unripe.
Yeah.
Thinly sliced ripe pear with really excellent ham.
Mm.
With a sort of balsamic-y drizzle on the top. Yeah. It's posh. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember where I had this, but it was so divine. I'm starting to slobber now. I'm tasting it now. It's so divine. And it was that kind of ham that none of us can aspire to know where it comes. Serranery or something, you know, where they're called, not Parma,
but
like version of that.
Mm-hmm. Was it Iberica,
or something like that, you know.
Iberica's the best stuff, though.
Is it the best?
Oh, for me, yeah, that's the one. That's the Spanish one. That's the one I get really excited about.
Is that when you get a whole side of it and slice?
Yeah, it's like that,
but very thin, paper-thin slices, and then the drizzle.
Sounds great.
Just to let you know that all my family are the same. My brother went on a school trip once to Spain and came back with a leg of Iberico ham.
Of course.
He'd spent all the money he had for like little tourist treats and little souvenirs and came back with a leg of ham.
That's good.
Yeah.
And they do last a long time, don't they? Or do they? Because my husband's before now got one of those where you buy the thing it goes
you gotta buy
on, the
rack
stand.
And the,
and you screw it in. It's quite butchery, isn't it? It's quite, you know, I own a deli now in my own house, which you don't. And he started cutting it at Christmas once and then kept on cutting it. And we were still eating it several months later and I was worrying. But then he kept saying, no, mould is good.
Yeah.
Is that right with ham? Ham and mould? Do they
ham
go
and
together?
Mold. Well, I don't know. Maybe...
Cheese and mould go together.
I'd cheese and mould. But I guess you can just, with that, you can cut the mould off and then it's fine underneath.
You see sloughing off mould to get to the ham you want. It's not... No, that's not appetising,
especially after months of eating the ham.
Months.
I know.
And it wasn't the really good one that I'm talking about, which I don't even really know the name of it.
Magic,
so let's call it magic ham.
Magic ham.
Marvellous, though. Don't you fancy the thought of it?
It sounds delicious. Yeah. I think... But again, I get what you mean. Pear in a savoury dish or start, you know, every time I've had it, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But I never think to do it at home.
Or even if you're going to try to impress people at a dinner party.
Yeah.
This would be a lovely thing. Pears. Yeah, I think pears. And you, if you really want to impress them, you might put walnuts. I've seen that before.
When you said pear,
yeah,
I thought there's some walnuts coming.
Did you? Yeah.
I got quite excited that there might be some walnuts coming. But then I don't think I would necessarily add that walnuts to the dish you described. I think that's nice and simple.
Yeah, as it is. But would you have the drizzle? Balsamic drizzlet?
I'd have the ham from wherever it's from.
What we wouldn't have is what often happens in posh restaurants, which is just spit on the top. called foam.
Oh, yes. Got, yeah,
you know, yeah, whereas yeah, really the chef has just got bat on it.
Yeah, yeah. Getting away with it.
It's spit of somebody who hasn't drunk enough water as
it
well,
is,
isn't it?
It is. Yeah, yeah. Or somebody who's drunk.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's the chef. It's the chef's spit.
Alcoholic spit.
It's never good
on your
enough
food. It apparently makes it posh. Yeah, I'm not accepting that.
No, no. I don't think it ever really holds its own. No. The foamy spit.
Foam. Don't yeah, call yeah it foam.
You want drizzlette.
I want drizzlette. Thank
yeah
you.
Yeah. Well, you can have the drizzlette, the magic ham, and yeah, the ripe pear.
Ripe pear. And maybe in stuff the centre of the table for those who want to be crazy. Walnuts.
Yeah, some walnuts. Yeah. There.
Walnuts. And do you think it'd be a good idea to crush them? Or would you put whole walnuts?
I think it depends if sometimes it's like raw walnuts on there, right? And so I find raw walnuts sometimes sort of strip my mouth out a bit.
Do they?
Yeah, they're just a bit like I get a weird texture in my mouth.
Oh.
But a roasted walnut all day long.
But
I love a roasted
walnut.
That's
quite a lot of effort, isn't it? But we're in a restaurant. Mm. It's all right. We can have that because somebody else has put the effort in. But I'm definitely doing this at home. At one of my yeah, many, many dinner parties that I haven't had for 20 years. I'm going to impress people with that.
Who would be at your dinner party?
Well, you guys, obviously.
Thank you.
We're best friends. Fatty Saunders, always. And her husband, the other one. And I don't know, Marie Curie, maybe Charlie Chaplin, you know, the usual. Chaplin.
Yeah, the usual. The usual gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently opened the drawer of our, we got a TV at home.
Well done.
And it's on like a cabinet. And I opened one of the top drawers of it and there was a bag of walnuts in there.
Was there?
And I thought, oh, my girlfriend's gone mad. And I'm going to be able to like point out. Instantly I was like thinking this is going to be great. I'm going to win this. Why is there a bag of walnuts in the TV cabinet? Thinking like that she'd go, oh, I'm going mad. You're right, but she was like, because sometimes you and other people put their glasses just directly on the cabinet and it leaves the ring. And if you get the walnut and you rub it over the stain, it goes away. I was like, what? And then she showed me, and it absolutely worked.
Wow.
She showed, here's a ring that you put there once. You put there the other day. Get a walnut. Rub it over it, it's gone.
How does she know this stuff?
Yeah, I know. She I've never, well, I was going to say I never look so stupid. I regularly look as stupid
you're
as that.
A twat.
Yeah, I'm a twat. And I walk into those things all the time. But
big respect to her.
Should also let you know, James's girlfriend is Kim Woodburn from How Clean Is Your House?
I love it.
Even further respect.
Yeah, call me Mr. Woodburn.
I'm scared of her, are you?
Yeah, she's scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. None of our houses could ever be clean enough. They go. And also, the very tight hair.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling the face will fall off when the hair comes down. Sorry, Kim. Please don't hurt me. I've got a feeling that's what I think the whole face is held up.
It's a very messy
with
house.
That scrunchy.
If the face falls down.
That scrunchy's pulling a lot of weight. Yeah.
I suggest using some white vinegar to get my face off the floor.
Yes. Or if my face falls on the floor, maybe I just use a walnut to wipe it up. My main course could be controversial. It's a pasty.
Okay.
I'm made of pasties. And if I could have one every single day of my life, I would. But they probably would have to be made by the people that I love. Yeah. So in the magic restaurant, could I have a pasty made by my own mother who's no longer with us?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, she's with Paul O'Grady.
Aww.
Yes, it would be my own mother's pasty. A good second is my husband's mother's pasty, mm-hmm. But it would never be my own mother's pasty. A third would be almost anybody else in my family's made a pasty. It goes down the line to Ginsters. Yeah. You know, that's when you,
Ginsters
if you're
bottom,
up against it,
yeah.
if you're up against yeah. on a service yeah. station or yeah. something like that.
But they, Ginsters know their bottom.
They do know, but they still support Argyle.
Yeah.
And if you go to Argyle, you have to buy a Ginsters or not. Or in Plymouth, where I'm partly from, there are really good pasties called Iver Doodneys, known to us as Doodies. That doesn't sound right, does it? You don't want to eat a doodie.
A doodie pasty.
Yeah, no. But there's no doodie in it.
No.
But Iver Doodneys pasties are the ones we prefer to Ginsters. Mm. So what you do, if you're going to an Argyle match, is you get an Iver Doodney pasty, you stick it down your front and you smuggle it in because Ginster supports, you know, they sponsor our guys. So really you're supposed to buy theirs, but you don't.
And they've got
so you've
people
got
watching.
The hot pasty. Yeah. The amount of chest burns I've had from Ivor Dooney's pasties secreted down the front bosoms. I haven't got any back bosoms, by the way, but saying front bosoms like that, that indicates I might have back bosoms.
Sure.
Oh, actually, I think I might have by now. I think I might have. Yeah. You can have a look for me later and see.
Yeah, but anyway,
when I was younger and smuggling them, it was all down the front. And oh, the heat. Oh, I've got to suffer it till half time. And then
till half
with the pasta. Yeah, till half time. Where, because it's got to stay warm. Yeah. So you're keeping it warm. Yeah.
You're desperate for someone to get a girl so you could scream.
All to be over, right. So you can eat your pasty. So an Ivor Dooney's is really excellent, but my own mother's pasty, made with your own mother's love, and that's the whole point. It's all folded in, and the history of the pasty. Come on,
yeah.
Do you know about them at all?
I.
What do you guess?
I know that I've definitely been told it and then forgotten it. Right. Is it something to do with the people who were going to work and they wanted all of a meal in one thing? So they invented the pasty, but I can't remember where they were going to work.
Where were they going to work, do you think?
Like the pits?
The mines.
Yes. The mines.
Yeah, the mines. Tin mines.
Correct.
Yeah. In Cornwall and places like that.
And you're supposed to throw the handle away,
so the
right?
The ends are for just holding, because your hands are covered in arsenic, which are down the mines. Mine are not covered in arsenic.
No,
I'm
no.
just eating a pasty from the shop. Yeah. But, you know, their hands were covered in arsenic, so you would eat one side of the pasty, which was your meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
And then there's a dividing line, other side of the pasty, apple and custard.
Wow.
And can I tell you, you're going down the mine at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You're having your lunch at 1 o'clock, still warm.
Great.
How?
In the bosoms.
Because I think, well, not the bosoms. You know, a lot of these guys didn't have bosoms.
Somehow, it's nice to get some history of the mines, you know. A lot of them didn't have bosoms.
I don't know if this is just legend, but it's something to do with sort of making a vacuum out of the pastry. You make one layer and make the pasty. You make another layer and you suck out the air and plug it. And that is like a thermos pasty. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the story. Whether it's just a long story and we've all fallen for it, I don't know.
It's amazing, though.
I like it.
Yeah.
So that's where the pasty, that's the history of it. But there are many wars lost and won about what's contained therein.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I once went on tour to Australia and lots of Cornish people went to live in Australia because of mines and stuff. And they lived in what is the place called? There's an area of Australia near Adelaide where lots of Cornish people ended up, and they're more Cornish than the Cornish could ever be. You know that thing when people have gone away?
Yeah.
And it's like Irish Americans, so Irish.
Yeah.
Anyway, they all settled in this one area. And I was on a show a bit like the Australian version of The One Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Sydney and we were talking about it, and they suddenly brought up the pasty thing because, you know, from Cornwall. And they, Munta, that's what the place is called. That's sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds really wrong.
And they put me through live to Munta, to Jethro Trewethern, or whatever his name was, who's the third generation of Cornishman there. His great-grandfather came over in the Mayflower or something, whatever. And he said, Dawn, we've made you a proper pasty.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're there in Sydney, we're here, but we're going to cut it open for you and show you the pasty. We've been making it for generations and we'll send it to you. I said, oh, lovely, lovely. And I genuinely was. I've been away for a while. I thought, oh, good, lovely. I'd love a pasty. And he cut it open and do you know what I saw? Do you know what I saw?
Huh?
The effrontery of it all. Carrot. No, thank you.
No.
You don't put carrot in a pasty.
No.
Turnip, if you want to call it that. Fine, Swede, turnip or Swede, acceptable. Skirt beef, acceptable. Onion, acceptable. Pepper, salt, potato, acceptable. Even dollop of clotted cream, acceptable to make the gravy. Carrot, never.
Yeah.
Get out.
It wasn't just carrot, right?
No, but there was a lot of it.
Yeah.
It was staring at me. So then I had to make a decision about, you know, because I've been well brought, I've got good manners, I hope. And I thought, fuck off.
I thought that.
Yeah. I didn't say it. And I went, oh, that's interesting. Like that. And then he said, well, we'll send you this pasty. And I couldn't help it. I just had to say, not to a rude thing. I just said, I'm so sorry to say this, but that seems to have carrot in it. And he said, yes, carrot, always carrot. I went, no, no, not always carrot. No, never, in fact, carrot, never. And he said, yes, this is how the grandfather... And I thought, oh, I'm insulting his of his lineage.
Yeah.
This is dreadful. Yeah. But I said, no, there's no... No, you call a pasty anything you like. Put anything... Put small hamsters in it, if you like. But don't call it a traditional Cornish pasty. Yes.
Yeah,
call it a hamster pasty.
Yeah.
Call that a carrot pasty. But don't call it a... And we had a little fallout on it. Yeah.
Great.
So and it caused a bit of a...
Is this on YouTube? Can I watch it later?
I don't... You might be able to. And you, what you will watch is me trying to contain myself.
Yeah.
So he was convinced that's traditional.
Absolutely convinced.
Is that traditional for the Cornish people of Munter, I guess?
Some abhorrence has happened between Cornwall
and... the journey over.
Yeah. They've lost their minds.
Yeah.
And someone... Or maybe they couldn't get hold of Swede or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There were carrots on the boat.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And they've all gone mad and they've decided that's where carrots belong. They're wrong. They're completely wrong about it. So anyway, in my pasty, you will not see carrot.
No
but you
way.
Will see these other ingredients.
But you want a traditional Cornish pasty.
I want a traditional
pasty.
Cornish pasty, so you got made by my mother.
The beef, was that?
Yeah, beef skirt.
Beef skirt.
Yeah, which weirdly enough, anywhere else in this country, beef skirt is a sort of cheap cut.
Mm-hmm.
In Cornwall, it's the most expensive because we're all making the pasties from it.
Yeah,
it?
Of course.
Do you see what the butchers are doing?
Yeah, clever.
Ripping us off.
They're clever, though.
Yeah. They're doing.
Yeah.
I was just about to say the most boring thing I've ever said.
No, but please say it.
Well, it's like what's happened recently with chicken thighs, Dawn.
Yeah, that's not the most boring thing you've ever said. I'm just here to tell you. But anyway.
Well, strapping,
Dawn, I met you today.
I'm not finished yet. Used to be the cheap cut, which is why they used it in a lot of dishes, especially in like Indian dishes and stuff. And then everyone worked out it was more delicious. So now it's more expensive than breast.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that?
That's the world we live in.
Yeah.
That's what we've got to deal with. That's what young people... Have you brought any children into the world, you two?
No.
Well, don't, because look what's happening.
We won't.
Yeah.
How could you ever explain it to them?
I know. Yeah. It's my only my dream one day to have a child and feed them on chicken thighs.
Yeah. Say goodbye to that dream.
I know, you won't be able to afford it.
I know.
Your pasty is just savoury then? It's not half and half with the custard and the apple?
No, can't be doing that. Because you don't get enough, really. Mm. I think their pasties were huge. And I have to say... The size of the pasty is the measure of the cook. So, for instance, my mother would make giant battleship pasties that were a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, so you would sit there until you finished it. Otherwise, she had no respect for you.
Obviously, I'm still thinking about apple and custard.
Yeah.
And why not?
I'm a sweet tooth boy.
If I was you, I'd have two pasties. That would be your main course and that would be...
Yeah, that's what I would do.
There's a lot of pastry.
And I don't think, if I was working the mines, I don't think I'd even get to the savoury one. I think I'd eat that.
Really?
Apple and custard.
Would you straight away?
Straight away
first. On the way down there.
On the way down there.
Are you the sort of person on a school trip? Are you already in your wagon wheel before you've even left the school gates?
Yeah. I've already eaten it. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. And you started with the wagon wheel and moved backwards to the jam sandwich. Yeah.
And then later when it's like official, okay, when it's lunchtime now, we'll get you like, and I'm there, oh, man.
Yeah,
I really regret it.
I know, you idiot.
I'm like, oh no.
What have I done?
Just eating my brown bread
now
sandwich.
I've got to eat my friend's food as well.
Yeah.
I've got to make people share their lunch with me because I've been a greedy twat.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have packed lunch at school. Some people had school dinner, some people had packed lunch.
Yeah.
And I got sent with packed lunch and I used to eat it in morning break.
Did you?
The whole thing. And then like sneak into school dinners.
How were you able to get the school dinners if you were on packed lunches?
Just strolled in, it's confidence.
And looked like doughy eyed at the dinner lady.
Just bowled in.
I'm starved at home. Yeah. Mrs. Nightingale. I'm starved by my parents.
Even though they'd all see me sat there eating a full sandwich at 11 a.m.
Yeah, I respect you for that completely. But there's something about a pasty. Oh, it's heavenly. And the type of pastry and. Just the, as I say, the love that it's made with is the answer.
Where do you stand on the West Cornwall Pasty Company? Obviously,
allowed.
Yes, allowed.
Tick.
Good,
definitely.
Because
if you're en route somewhere,
yeah,
that I would accept definitely.
I like the steak and Stilton from there, but
I
would never call it a traditional Cornish pasty.
No, thank you.
I would never do that,
and I don't think I would ever order it because it's not a traditional Cornish pasty. Have you heard of a pixie?
No.
Well, you've probably heard of a pixie, the small little fairy creature. But they do make something called a pixie, which is just like three mouthfuls.
Mm,
tiny little pasty. I think it's probably for children.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
No, I have sometimes put one behind each ear for later.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
John, this is a Christmas episode, so of course we'd like to hear your dream Christmas dinner as well before we...
Okay, well...
This is another thing that's followed you around since the puddle days as well.
Thank you. And how many... I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but how many Christmas dinners do you think I ate in that episode?
Well, in the episode, is it three in the episode or four?
That within the story? It might be four, actually.
Yeah,
it might be
within
four.
The story.
Yeah. How many do you think I ate?
I'm so you're doing multiple takes of each.
Yeah. Think about how television's made.
Yeah. Over and over again, you would have had to film that.
You're going the wrong way.
Oh, really?
Going the wrong way.
Well, you had one?
Thinking, none.
What?
None.
Oh,
because if you look at it, it's put in front of me. I go, oh dear, I don't know if I can manage this, raise this knife and fork, cut to the end, cut to the carcass.
Yeah.
Didn't eat anything. Yeah. Anything. It was such a disappointing day. Because when I read the script, I thought, ooh, great, some overeating today of the Christmas variety. None.
Yeah.
And even all the Brussels sprouts, I think I might have actually eaten and swallowed, masticated and pooed out two only. Whereas there were many. There were many on the table, many going in the mouth, but they all had to go in a bucket. Sorry, everybody. I'm ruining it all, aren't I, for everyone?
No, we love it.
Had to go in a bucket because they would have choked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is sad.
So I know, it's sad. I'm over it now.
Yeah.
But I've forgiven everybody in the production for starving me on that day. But yeah, that's how telly works.
It could have ruined Christmas dinners for you, though, if you'd actually had to eat them as many times as you would have done on camera.
That is true. And actually, I'm pretty sure that is what happens to vicars, where they get invited to far too many Christmassy things.
Yeah. So maybe your dream Christmas dinner is that many Christmas dinners. No, maybe it is because you were looking forward to eating that many.
Well, no, it's not, though. It's not, because what I'm going to suggest to you is not my Christmas Day dinner, if I'm allowed to veer from it.
Of course.
But is Christmas Eve dinner. Now, this is a bit surprising, and I don't want to disappoint you. Well, I do. It's beans on toast, I'm afraid, with grated cheese and salad cream.
Great.
Every Christmas Eve, that's what we have in our family, because we know the next day is going to be a massive blowout.
Yeah.
And because there's preparation going on, and because there's people to go and visit. So every Christmas Eve, we just have agreed over many, many, many years as a tradition, is beans on toast, so it's just easy. And honestly, I long for it.
Yeah.
I long for it. And that's the beginning of Christmas for me.
Where is the salad cream going in this? So there's
on the side, please.
On the side.
Yeah, not over the top. Don't be silly.
I didn't know.
So you're dipping. So you're dipping as you go along.
Yeah, dipping.
Yeah.
I like the dipping because then you can measure out exactly how much in each mouthful. Mm-hmm. And also, may I say, if you want to be crazy, you could put some Marmite on the toast before. Ooh, and you also could chop the toast into little squares.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, slightly American style, you can abandon your knife and only use your fork. What do you think about that? Is that lazy?
No, it's not lazy because you're putting in the work beforehand, aren't you?
You are. So, you are.
It just means that you know you're getting the perfect size bite every time.
Agree. I think some people might regard that as wrong.
I'd actually never heard of that technique before, and I quite like it.
I think it's a great technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And it also means you can hold the plate under your chin in that slightly I'm a dribbler way, and you've got the fork, and that's it, and you're just, you know, it's just what's that word?
Shoveling.
With grated cheese and please cheddar always.
Yes.
Nothing posh. We're not going posh there. It's Christmas Eve. Yeah. We're preparing for the 15 vegetables the next day.
Yeah.
Are you just putting like grated cheese on the top and leaving it? You're not grilling it or melting
not
it?
Not grilling
anything,
it.
Just...
No. I think you're imagining that I'm more chefy than I am.
I wouldn't count that as chefy necessarily.
I would. This is why you won't be coming for dinner at my house, because it really isn't good.
But you're letting the beans melt the cheese.
Yes, I am. Yes. And the beans are very hot.
Yeah.
And if you're my husband, you've put curry powder with the beans.
Well, I respect that.
Dear, have you heard
of
it
before? I don't really like baked beans. So any sort of addition to the baked beans would be
Yesterday, we did a live show of this podcast, and we always have a secret ingredient that if the guest chooses it, they get kicked out of the Dream restaurant.
And they don't know what the ingredient is.
They don't know what it is.
Oh, that's sneaky.
Yes, and because in the live episodes, we let the audience kind of help us decide what it's going to be before the guest comes on. Yesterday, they chose baked beans.
Did they?
Yeah.
For that guest yesterday, not for you.
Okay, all right.
Not for you.
No. I'm aware it's ordinary, but I also know, a bit like a pasta, you can tell I'm sort of... comfy, it's all comfy, yummy. So this is the opposite to Jennifer, by the way. I don't know if Jennifer's ever been
here. Not yet.
But you will find, different class, different kind of, she's all about tentacles and, you know, oystery things and little special little tiny things. That's who she is.
Yeah.
Baked beans, probably never. But I'm all about the comfort. I'm a boarding school girl. So I think when you've been to boarding school, there's so many mistakes at boarding school with food. But what you do is when you go home for the holidays, you so want to be outside. You don't watch your mum cook. You don't learn much about cooking. So for me, tip-top food is like chocolate shake, baked beans, pasty, you know, that sort of stuff. Slow cooker things in there. Could be chicken thighs, could be.
Yeah.
Chopped up things that cook for lots of hours and are gooey and filling and comforting.
Yeah, I love baked beans. So
yeah, good.
I'm on your side.
I haven't disappointed you.
No, you're not disappointed me because I like what they signify. I love this Christmas Eve thing of just having something convenient. But
what do you have against them, please?
I just don't like the taste of them.
Too sugary?
No, I just think they're just a bit bland for me. Yeah, just a bit meh.
Yeah. Well, that's why you would add the curry powder.
So the curry powder I would enjoy.
You're not thinking it through, I don't think.
Yes, no. I'm not thinking
not all
it through.
The way through.
No.
Not enough to actually get you to open a tin.
And because you've got a load of different combos there, I would feel that I'd want to try them all. I'd want to have like the curry powder baked beans with the cheese, and then I'd want to have standard baked beans with cheese and Marmite.
Yes.
And then try the salad cream one, which I'm not sure.
I know it sounds a bit out there, but it is right. There's something really good about it. It's tangy. It's good. Mm-hmm. It sort of counteracts the blandness weirdly.
I just think everyone has a dish like that at Christmas where they eat it and they're like, we've started.
Yeah, I agree. Completely.
Christmas is on the way.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice that it's also you've made that something convenient. So you don't.
It's so easy, and nobody has to think about it, and no impressing anyone, because the next day is all about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the next day. Oh. I mainly take baths. I'm known for it.
Yeah.
My family understands. I go, I think I need a bath, and that gives me 40 minutes away.
At what point in the day?
Quite early on. It can start quite early. It depends how many we normally have the biggest table. Not boasting, but we have. I'm boasting. We've got a really fabulous big table. So we are the hosts. And sometimes it'd be 30 people at our house. So that's a lot to think about. And when they start arriving, I'm already overwhelmed. already overwhelmed by it. So I take baths, and everyone understands it just means I'm absenting myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously not during the main eating.
No.
But soon after.
I bet they're jealous that you get to just try and take a bath.
Well, but they think it's quite antisocial, really, but they've accepted this about me now because it's never going to change. Yeah. But also, I also bribe children on Christmas Day.
What?
5 for each to do the dishes. 5 for each.
Yeah.
That's been since they're very young. And in a way, it's counterproductive because they're not very good at it. So you end up doing them all over again.
Yeah.
But they have a first go at it. They get rid of most of the grease.
And that keeps them busy for a bit.
Keeps them
as well.
Busy. Yeah. Yeah. And they feel like, ooh, Auntie Dawn's bribing us again. but that works well. And something I want to mention to you, just because I've never said it before.
Yes.
Going back to boarding school. Did either of you go to boarding school?
No.
Okay. I went to boarding school because my dad was in the RAF, and so, you know, the RAF paid for you to go. So you're suddenly with other posh girls, that, and you're not a posh girl, and it's all very weird. But anyway, the school I went to was an ex-convent, and there was a refectory. And at the end of the school day, you would go into the refectory, and the table was laid out for you to have. You would have bread and butter and jam. This is what you had at the end of the day, and milk, you know, or tea. This is before you sup. This is the end of day food. So when I first went there, very nervous about being there. What was I, 12 or something? And missing my mum and dad like mad. They were missing me too, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Parents cried their eyes out every time, every first day of term. And I was told I was allowed to come home any moment I wanted to. So it wasn't like a horrible punishment. But anyway, we went into the refectory, and there were the plates with the butter on, cold butter chopped up, which I didn't understand the rules of this. So I thought this was cheese. And I just ate the butter. And because I was caught doing it by somebody watching me to see how I would deal with it, I had to pretend that's what I do. So I had to keep on eating the butter. And I will never forget it.
Was that an adult caught you?
No, another kid. But, you know, a slightly mardy kid, you know, is watching you and thinking, you've got that wrong, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I had to bet, no, I haven't got it wrong. Yeah. I've got it very right, actually. Yeah. You've got it wrong.
Because as a kid,
I eat butter. Yeah. That's what I do.
It's preferable to be the person who eats butter than it is to admit that you got something wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then you've got to eat another one and another one, looking them right in the eye. Yeah. every day for 7 years.
My name's Dawn and I eat cold butter.
Lots of it. I love it.
Your dream side dish, Dawn?
Here I go again, just being a great big old tub. I think it's got to be chips, I'm sorry. Mm. Now, there are arguments about this in my household. Husband makes big fat ones, which are delightful, and 3 times cooked. I think because he saw that on a menu once and thought that's
Yeah, it's the fancy thing to
cooked.
Do. Yeah, yeah.
So, and he claims it's better for you because there's more potato and you dip them in the fat more off. But I like the very, very thin, the little tiny thin ones that are very bad for you.
Yeah.
String chips, are they called? What are they called? Something
those
like
ones
that.
Are really thin ones.
Yeah, really thin ones. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah. Impossible to make at home. That's why I would have it, because you're going to genie it up for
I'll me. Do it for you.
Yeah. So think about what I'm eating. Pasty with chips on the side.
It's great.
Straight to hospital, frankly.
Have you had your beans on toast?
Yeah, I've had my beans on toast on Christmas. Christmas
that was
only.
Christmas.
Don't go having that during the year it's normal and okay. Save it for Christmas.
Yeah.
Is there enough gravy in the pasty to dip chips into?
No, not really. Unless gravy and pasty is quite a moot point, as I say, because it is. I have known people to put some clotted cream in there. I've known people to make gravy they pour on.
I'm
recoiling at that.
Yeah, try holding that in your bosom.
The Ginsters guy's just looking around the stands. You're there with a gravy boat, just pouring it down.
I don't think gravy belongs on pasties at all. But and then she'd be moist. Sorry to use that word on the inside, but not really. So you can
spill
dip
out.
Chip. You could, if you like, dip chips in ketchup.
Yeah.
Or ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together.
It's like
Mary Rose sauce, isn't it? Yeah, but it's not the actual Mary Rose. It's the builder's version.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you like that with your dream meal, some ketchup and mayo?
Oh, yes, I would if I'm allowed that.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, that would come with the stringy chips.
Yes.
Thank you.
Salt and vinegar?
No. Salt I'm not a huge fan of. I've got a thing about salt. Why is it always salt and pepper? Why? Why?
Yeah, good,
why
good
is
point.
It, why is it always that?
Good point.
And, you know, people will tell you, ooh, the salt enhances the flavour. No, it doesn't. It tastes like salt, doesn't it?
It brings out the flavour of the other stuff. I don't know. It's science, magic.
Apparently, what salt does, and I only know this from watching that salt, fat, acid, heat show, is salt just emphasises the flavour that's already there.
Yes.
It's what that says, that show says it.
But you can use too much salt, I guess.
Believe that show.
I am aghast when I see like grown-up chefs putting handfuls of salt into stuff.
It's mad, isn't it?
I don't like it. Yeah. I'm not sure it's good for you. And look at me, I eat really good for you food, as you can tell. But and I would put a tiny bit of salt in what's inside that pasty. I would enjoy that tiny, tiny amount.
Yeah.
But if I'm tasting salt over the actual flavour of the food, and most food has its own proper flavour. I don't think we're used to what the flavours are anymore without the salt.
Yeah. I think it's mad when you see what restaurant chefs put in. Yeah. The amount of salt and butter they put in
salt
stuff.
And cream.
And cream,
It is shocking.
And sugar for desserts.
Yeah.
When you see them making the dessert and they're just free pouring a bucket of sugar into it.
But rather, you've reacted to it in a way of saying, well, that's too much salt. I don't do that at home and my food's fine.
Yes.
Whereas what I've done is now when I cook at home, I put as much salt in as a restaurant chef.
No, no. Please stop that immediately.
I love it.
Do you think you're a salt addict?
Yeah, definitely a salt addict.
Are you?
For
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a big like tub of flaky salt, molten sea salt.
Yeah.
And in one of those like sealed things with a catch on it.
Yeah.
And I pop that open. I love listening. But here we go.
With every meal.
Yeah.
Before tasting.
Yeah. Well, certainly, like, if I'm having eggs in the morning, that's...
I sort of get it on eggs. I sort of get that.
It's
but
a
not,
blizzard. It's
even
an absolute
so,
blizzard.
Very sparing. Mm. Where are you with pepper?
I like pepper, yeah. Got a big black pepper grinder. Love a bit
but
of that.
Don't you think it's a bit boring? Like, ooh, I've made my meal. Salt, pepper.
I find
nobody's thinking of other things. Why don't they go, ooh, licorice? You know, why don't they go, ooh, chocolate? Instead, why are they always those two? Always. Oh. I think it's a hangover from preserving stuff with salt or something and getting used to that taste.
Well, I've been given two things. But I think I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but my mum got me, this isn't one of many Christmas presents. Well, yeah, it wasn't my main Christmas present, but it was a salt, garlic and chili grinder.
Okay, yeah.
So then I just used that on everything. It was like it was the best thing ever. And now just using salt is very boring to me. So I just want to use that.
Yeah, well, you've moved on from salt.
So good.
Yeah.
And someone once gave me from Trader Joe's in America, it was like a chili and lime salt. And I started using that a lot of, especially.
That sounds quite exotic.
I just put it on avocados.
Yeah. With gosh.
And like I cut an avocado in half and just put that salt on it.
Is that lovely?
So good.
Right, I'm doing that then.
Yeah, just
chili. Do you buy chili, lime and what?
Salt. Is this a chili, lime, salt?
In one thing?
Yeah, in one thing. Right. They sent it to me from a place called Trader Joe's, so the supermarket.
Would they send it to me from Trader Joe's?
Maybe.
Where could I buy it?
I bet it's somewhere online, but also, if you say, my name is Dawn French, and I would like that sent to my house, please. They'll probably
You'd be
do
surprised.
It.
Yeah. All doors closed.
Yeah.
But salt, honestly, I think is the enemy. Sorry.
That's okay.
So you'll be coming to me when you're 66. Yes. Dawn, why didn't I listen to you? Look at me. Look at my flaking skin.
Puck it up.
I've got no teeth. Yeah. All my ears have gone in with my tiny, tiny ears. just crept back inside my head.
I didn't have any to start with, and now it's
all
in my
because
head
of the salt. I've got no liver left.
Yeah.
My legs have fallen off.
I tell you
all because of salt.
I hope that doesn't happen to Ed.
Thanks.
Do
man.
You? That's nice. What
he
a friend.
He will feel very unhappy.
Yes. He would.
Yeah.
If he had no body.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes Benito takes photos of us and weirdly makes Ed look nothing like he looks in real life.
Yes, it's a skill.
What happens to you with the photos?
Just look awful.
And Ed will see it and be like, oh God, oh Jesus Christ. So if Ed actually did look like that in real life,
Are you vain, Ed?
Yeah,
or
probably.
Not.
Probably.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you're handsome. Well, you're both handsome.
I'm
so
vain
that's
when I look at the photos Benito's taken because he makes
me look... do you do? What does he do that's so
know.
Well, we'll you say, see, you haven't got my husband. He used to be redhead when he was young. So he's now very white. Oh. And so he's got quite white eyebrows, white hair. Does double up for Father Christmas occasionally, but hasn't got the actual real beard, but puts it on at Christmas, you know, for the kids at his work. But anyway, I've told people that now. Oh, the kids at work will know that it's him and it's the CEO. It's not actually Father Christmas. Anyway, when anyone takes a picture of him, he disappears.
Yeah.
It's just like a wisp. It's like Casper. He's gone. Because of the whiteness, he's just not even in the picture.
Yeah.
But that's not what happens to you. What happens to you in the picture?
I just look like a different guy.
Yeah, he just suddenly...
A guy with what going on, though?
See, all his proportions just go all over the place.
What happens to your face?
No, I don't like it either, but I just accepted, that's just Ben, how Ben takes my photo, whatever.
Well, we're going to...
Whereas Ed is like, what the fuck? I'm the sexiest man alive. What the fuck is this?
Never said that.
As he does.
We will take a photo after this episode.
Yeah, and then we'll look at the episode, it.
And then we'll look at it. And
show me your photo face.
I do.
I'll describe it to
the
listener.
I do a silly face for the, podcast.
It's a big smiley face.
Oh. I do this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't like
He's doing a sort of gleeful...
I don't really have a photo face, and I always panic when people take photos of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you my rule of thumb with this, which hasn't been successful. Okay. This is another twattiness of me.
Great.
Is that when I was very small, my grandmother told me that I was at my very best when I smiled with every single tooth in my head. Like that. Yeah. So I've always done it. I still do it now. Mm. It's bad. Yeah. It's very bad. I haven't even got great teeth.
I've got quite nice teeth, but they're quite... Because you do that. I've seen loads of photos of you.
Yeah.
My whole life.
And, but grimacing.
And no, but I think it's a very nice smile, Dawn. And I have always thought I would associate you with, if someone said to me, what's Dawn Fletcher's teeth like? I'd say immaculate.
Why are you asking that question?
Yeah, I mean, why are you asking
it? Do you want to know something else that's going on? I don't know if we're going off piste here. Something about my teeth at the moment, quite alarming.
Yeah.
COVID came along, didn't it?
Yes.
My husband, frontline worker, helps people who are in a pickle with drugs and alcohol and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave his card here. Because he was given two choices, either live at work with lots of people who were not distancing and whatever because they're all in a bit of a pickle, or go home. Do not touch your wife and sleep in another room. So he chose the latter, right? So we had this very weird few months where he's in a different room at night. And I did not like this at all. So I found my comforts in returning to childhood by every night, and this is, I'm talking about after brushing my teeth, afterwards, right? Five chocolate eclair toffees. Always five. Why? Don't know. Can't answer you. Bit weird. Lined up then, I think, oh, come on, tonight, French. Tonight is the night you only have four. Come on, let's go four, let's go three, let's go two, let's go one, let's go none.
Let's wean yourself off.
How long ago was COVID? Wow. 2 years, 3 years?
Well, 2020 was the big kickoff, wasn't it?
2020, so we're now in 2023. Yeah. So let's say 3 whole years.
Yeah.
How many days is that? I don't know, 365 days within 3 years, 900
days, like, over million
days. Yeah. Five toffees every single day.
You're still doing it?
So my still doing it. Can't stop. He's back in the bed and I'm still doing it. And he has to wait. I said, just wait. I'm on toffee number three. I'll be with you shortly. And that's now my teeth have gone smaller.
I don't really know what he's waiting for.
Your teeth have gone smaller?
My teeth have been smallened by the sugar in the toffee. Everything's gone wrong with the teeth because I'm favouring the sugar over the husband. When, I'm thinking sugar or husband. Sugar or husband. Oh, both.
Did he know you were doing that before...
I said, look, this is what's going on. You're not there. And so I'm turning to sugar for my nutrients, for my comforts. And she went, okay. We don't know how long COVID's going to last, but okay.
Yeah.
And then when he was back in, I tried to sneakily do it. I don't know if you've ever tried to open a chocolate eclair sneakily.
Mm.
So then what I started to do was...
It's a noisy packet, isn't it?
It's noisy. I actually unwrapped them earlier in the evening and put them in the drawer. And I would just move the drawer and put them in the other way like this. Pretend to be scrolling or something. Like that. But I'm really... And there is the chewy noise, isn't there?
You can't answer questions if you've got...
You can't answer questions. Although I don't get asked a lot of questions at bedtime. Do you? Could you leave now?
Yeah,
things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
I can't believe this because it's not ladylike, do a bit of snoring.
Yeah.
Apparently. Well, everyone does. He does. Yeah. But when I'm doing my snoring, this is the noise that I hear. This is how I know I'm doing snoring. Because he does this noise. Do you think that's all right?
No, like you're a cat.
To be a snake,
like you're a cat. Yeah.
In the night. Yeah. Because that apparently brings me out of the sleep enough to stop the snoring. And I get very annoyed. I go up out of the REM sleep into kind of, what the fuck, what is that? Oh, I'm back again. And apparently then I'm snore-free for another hour.
So it's he's doing what he considers to be a considerate thing.
He is.
Because he doesn't wake you up fully, but
doesn't
it stops
fully
you snoring.
Wake, My answer is go to the other room.
Yeah.
If you hear that, please leave.
You'd love to that other room during COVID, won't you go there?
Yeah. Have you considered half having a toffee and sticking your teeth together? That might stop the snoring.
Is it the teeth that makes the snoring?
The nose.
Isn't it your uvula? Sorry to use that word.
That's all right.
At the back of your throat. Is it called that?
Your septum.
Septum's here.
Yeah.
It's not your septum.
No, septum's
I think it might be that tonsilly uvula thing that's hanging down at the back. Or is that just girls or is that just me? Wouldn't that be awful if I find out that I was the only person who had tonsils in the world? Nobody else had them. And I had some kind of prehistoric hanging skin thing in the back of my throat. And everybody else, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? You call it what? Tonsils?
That would be so bad if you found that.
You've got flesh in your throat. How do you eat? It's a flap in your throat. Anyway.
Your dream drink, Dawn French.
Well, this is... I'm going to plug something now because it actually genuinely is my dream drink.
Yeah.
This is cider made by my best friend's husband. It's called Foy Valley Cider and it is just the best. These apples are grown in the Foy Valley down in Cornwall where I live. And this cider, you know, there's cider, isn't there? And then there's cider. There's rough cider that, you know, cider you steal from people. Cider you use to try and numb the regret. Cider you use to try and find that ugly boy attractive. That sort of cider. Cider to try and get over everything. It's not that. It's not rough. It's beautiful and light and, oh, it's heavenly. Castle Door Foy Valley cider. That's what I would have. It just goes with everything. It's absolutely divine.
Is it a sweet cider or a dry cider?
Yeah, it's not. It's not sweet and it's not dry. It's whatever that is. Swy.
Yeah.
Or dreet.
Dreet.
Yeah. It's somewhere in there. Yeah, he probably will argue this with me. He probably would call it one or the other. But I'm not so fond of the sweet and I'm not so fond of the dry, but I love this. Mm-hmm. So it's something in the middle.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm not like really a cider guy, but I found one type of cider that I just think is the best.
What is that?
Henley's vintage cider, which is the cider that's kept in whiskey barrels. Oh. So the flavour of that gets into the cider.
Oh, hello.
It's like its own drink. And
Are you loving it?
That was a really nice. On our 100th episode, we got to do our own menus and I couldn't remember where I'd had this cider before. Uh-oh. Healy's, not Henley's. As soon as Ben looked at me, I was like, it was the other option.
Yeah.
I had Henley's or Healy's in my head.
Yeah.
But that was the thing, with our 100th episode, I couldn't remember where it was from or what it was called. Yeah. But I remembered I had this cider once and then...
Yeah.
The listeners helped track it down.
And so are you drinking it regularly now?
No, but I did get sent some. They very kindly sent me some. And
so he's run out and that's why he's mentioning it again.
And I'll mention it again.
Okay. Well, I can help you with the Foy Valley. I cannot help you with the Healy's or Henley's.
Do a little exchange, maybe. Yeah.
What is yours, out of interest, Ed? Sorry.
I don't really drink cider.
No. Are you an alcohol drinker?
Yes, I'm an alcohol drinker, very much. But cider is tricky. Sorry, I'm going to be boring now, James. Because I'm type 1 diabetic, so I don't tend to have anything.
I support this.
Cider can be so sweet.
Yes.
That it would just ruin a night out for me if I started drinking cider.
Pretty much all alcohol's got lots of sugar.
Not as much as cider.
So what is your tipple?
Red wine is my normal go-to. Okay. I like, you know, martinis and things like that. They're the things I like the most, but also tend to be on the lower sugar.
When you were saying about the eclairs earlier, it unlocked a memory.
Did it?
Of you.
Oh.
But I didn't know. I was like, so I was imagining you eating the eclairs.
He's got a very visual mind.
I've suddenly become afraid.
Well, you were doing some mimes as well.
Yeah, I was. Sorry.
I was like, what's that? So I'm now trying to remember what it was. But I think it's Jack and Nori. I think you were doing a Jack and Nori story about someone working in like a chocolate shop or something and in front of the customer eating the chocolates and looking at them.
Oh, my goodness.
And miming that. Is that a thing you did?
That sounds right, but I can't think what the story... I definitely did Jack and Nori.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story was, but I would have definitely... I'm always eating
chocolate. I remember you doing a mime of they look at the customer dead in the eye and then they pick a chocolate out and then eat the chocolate. And the mime was so good that as a little chocolate-loving boy, I was like, oh, that chocolate looks good, even though it was not there.
Yeah.
Benito, Daisy Pig keeps shop.
Thank you.
There you go. And they eat the chocolate in front of the customers.
That's right. Absolutely right.
It's just unlocked that memory for
you. Just unlocked it.
Can you imagine being me and somewhere in your 30s, I think, someone says, would you like to get paid for eating chocolate oranges?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that.
Of course. We haven't even discussed that yet.
They didn't even... They missed a trick there.
Yeah.
Because I would have paid them.
Yeah.
And that's like sort of my Christmas signifier. is the Terry's chocolate orange. Yeah.
In the bottom of your stocking?
Every year, bottom of the stocking. Love it.
They've recently come up with a Terry's chocolate mint. No.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. It's the shape of a fucking orange. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No one wants that.
But imagine that. Imagine that job. I was bereft when it finished.
Yeah. I bet you were.
Yeah, bereft. But you can't rely on advertising campaigns, can you? You can't count on them.
No.
They come, they go, they're fickle as hell. But at the moment, I'm involved with M&S. I'm a little fairy that flies all over the M&S food. And I go, ooh, look at this. Maples, covered sugar, turkey crown with... I do that.
Yeah.
Every Christmas. I've done it for the last three Christmases.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
And I've different... First year, it was with Percy Pig, who was Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Second year was with Ducky the dog chew toy, which was Jennifer Saunders. This year, I'm not even allowed to tell you who it is. It's so exciting.
Big news.
I signed an NDA.
Wow.
How excited are you now?
Very excited, very excited, actually. I'm guessing it must be either Mark or Spencer themselves.
It is a couple of people. I'll just leave that with you.
Ooh. If Marks and Spencer's wanted to be truly Christmassy this year, they'd have you as the fairy flying over some baked beans and salad cream.
They would, if they were true to my Christmas. Yeah. But they're all about Christmas Day, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't... Again, this is a job where people come to you and say, do you mind if we pay you to come and pretend to be a fairy and look at all this lovely food and then we'll send you some of it at Christmas? Yeah, yes. Yeah. Give me no minutes at all to think about this. Yes.
The dream dessert. We're kind of already there. We're talking about all these
wonderful sweets. Weirdly enough, what I think I would like, I know it's slightly poncy at the moment and people are doing this, but I do this in my house all the time and I would like it in a slightly posher version. I think it's called, correct me, assiette of desserts. Have I got that right? I think it means when you've got lots of little bite-sized versions. Yeah, nice. A little tiramisu, a little coconutty thing, a little chocolatey thing. Yeah. Lots of different versions. I like that because I like to have coffee at the same time, black coffee, please.
Yeah, nice. Great.
At the same time, directly before going to bed,
which
I can do because I've got the body mass to absorb it.
Yeah.
And also my mother used to bring us coffee straight before bed.
I can drink coffee before bed as well.
Good.
Absolutely.
Respect's back up again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't. I can't do it.
Oh, God. Now it's a roller coaster here of respect, loss, and winning. But can you imagine a little board or a plate or whatever fancy thing you want to bring, but with the little bite sized version of about five or six different puddings? Is it called an assiette?
It is, apparently.
Oh, there you go. I've seen that in a lot of restaurants.
Take us through what the little bites.
Well, I would always have a tiramisu. I might have a little lemon meringue thing. I'd have something chocolatey, not poncy chocolate, but some kind of a little chocolate moussey something or other.
Yeah.
Something pistachio-y or cannoli kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
Something like that. Yes. That would be enough. That's great. Let's not overeat now. And we're full of pasty.
Yeah, exactly. It's too late now.
Do you want
a cheese bread?
A single segment of Terry's chocolate orange.
Oh, go on. Go on. Sit there. You can make Terry's. Very nice cakes out of it's those, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good for melting. Fondue, that's another thing. I have won friends amongst my daughter's friends by melting chocolate and putting... You fool children by making chocolate fondue, but you put fruit on the side. So they're somehow eating fruit, also and marshmallows, and biscuits.
Yeah.
But they're dipping.
Yeah, yeah.
They're dipping the fruit when they've run out of the marshmallows and biscuits.
They are. Yeah. And you win the friends over with that because they ask if they can come again. They say to their parents, she makes a brilliant pudding. When the kids gone to bed, you reheat it, but you add brandy.
Oh, nice. Oh,
hello.
Yes.
And get rid of the fruit.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, Dawn, see how you feel about
okay.
it. You would like sparkling water.
Yes,
you would like Satan's cheese bread as your bread course.
Yes.
Starter, you want thinly sliced ripe pear with magic ham and balsamic drizzlette. Some crushed walnuts in the middle of the table.
Correct.
Main course, beef skirt pasty made by your mother. Christmas meal, you would like Christmas Eve beans on toast with Marmite grated cheese and salad cream. Side dish, the string fries with ketchup and mayo mixed together.
Yeah.
Drink, Castle Door, Fowey Valley.
Foy, please say Foy.
Foy Valley cider.
Yes.
Dessert, assiette of desserts, tiramisu, lemon meringue, chocolate mousse, pistachio cannoli, Terry's chocolate orange, and a black coffee.
Correct. All of that is good.
That sounds great.
That is a fantastic menu.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds very
good. I feel very full, don't you?
Yes, but don't forget, you'll be going to bed after that meal and eating five chocolate eclairs.
Do you know, I would directly after that, and I will tonight. I bet you'll think of me tonight.
I will.
When you're going to sleep. And when you're brushing your teeth, you think, after this, he has all five toffees.
Yeah. Also, like, yeah, your husband is trained to, help people combat addiction.
I know.
He should be able to help you stop this toffee
thing. I'm a lost cause. Completely a lost cause.
He was at work for the whole pandemic.
I know.
Little did he know, in his own house.
I know. It was all going on. I'm a filthy, filthy junkie.
Dawn's falling off the wagon.
Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you,
Dawn.
Well, there we are, James. A special one for us, I think.
There you go. We can tick that off the... That's an achievement, Ed. We did
it. Absolutely. Speaking to Dawn French about her dream menu. And what a dream menu it was.
She spoke to us.
She spoke to us. She spoke back to us.
She looked at us.
Yeah, she looked at us. We're hanging out. We're best mates now.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And lovely menu and lovely little Christmas chat as well, James, because it's Christmas.
Yeah, and also Dawn did not pick Marmite cakes, so we didn't have to kick her out the
dream restaurant. We didn't have to kick her out the dream restaurant.
We're very happy about that.
Do not forget that The Twat Files by Dawn French is out now. Go and buy it. It's Christmas just around the corner if you're listening to this when it comes out. It will be the perfect Christmas gift. Buy The Twat Files by Dawn French, published by Michael Joseph. And hey, if you're in a book-buying mood, why don't you get Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy by Ed Gamble, me.
A life of mistakes, no regrets.
There are a lot of mistakes in it, actually.
Yeah.
But no regrets.
But no regrets at all.
Yeah. This is a special message from the great Benito, as read by Ed Gamble. Benito would like to thank Franco Manca, the fantastic pizza makers, for providing pizzas for the plosive Christmas party. He loved the pizzas. Thank you so much for sending them, Franco Manca. You guys are the best.
Well, Ed, I hope you have a good festive season, or hold on, maybe I'll be seeing you again soon for another Christmas special.
Yeah, maybe next week even, James. Thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu podcast. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, motherfuckers.
Oh, dear.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.